Radio Free X-Man is brought to you by, sponsored by, paid for, and catered. Oh, no food this week. By X-Man Mortgage.
We do have catering, and it's brought to you by my leftover diet Snapple. Here.
Brought to you by.
Of which there's not enough for everybody, might I add.
Look, folks, swill.
And so we have our obligatory mortgage minute, if you will, not to be confused with some guy who refers to himself as Morgan Minute.
Oh, God, the hives are rising on my arms even now.
Hey, he's a good guy. He's not as fun as we are, but he's a good guy.
And he knows a lot about mortgage.
He does. Sure, he's really smart. Where do you think I get these topics?
I thought it was because we were sitting around beforehand. What are we going to talk about today? And I scratched my head, and everybody looked blank. And
it
was like,
you know, it wasn't your head that you scratched.
Well, never mind.
Teach us, O master of mortgage, about the difference between an ARM and a fixed.
ARM stands for adjustable rate mortgage, and they are just that. Each and every year, in most cases, they will adjust. And in a rising interest rate environment, they will adjust upward.
Okay? Because we are at rock bottom right about now.
Well, we're not really rock bottom. Just say it. What are you trying to say?
We keep saying they. You just say the interest rate.
They, the interest rates.
The rates go up.
Right. The rates go up.
What is this?
Yeah.
Thank you.
A bad the James T. Kirk School of Mortgage.
William Shatner impersonation.
Now, generally speaking, when you're discussing adjustable rates, you'll hear your mortgage professional refer to something called a 228 or a 327.
Mm-hmm.
228 just means that it's fixed for 2 years, and then thereafter, for the remaining 28 years, it can adjust. Oh, it will adjust, okay? Mm-hmm. And in a rising interest rate, stop that, tax goddess.
Nodding her head fiendishly.
And in a rising tax rate environment, mm-hmm. they will adjust upward. Of course, in a lowering tax rate environment.
In a rising
interest rate.
In
interest
a rising rate. Mortgage interest rate environment, start
I said
there.
Tax rate, though.
Yeah, but say interest rate.
All right, that's what I meant to say. In a rising interest rate environment, they will go up. In a lowering interest rate environment, they will go down.
Important to note that when they are adjustable, it doesn't mean you get to adjust them. It means somebody else adjusts them and you get to pay.
No, it seems market force. Market force is mm-hmm. adjusting.
Indeed.
Them, which brings us this to
rate,
a fix.
They base the rate upon what?
Market forces. I mean, we can go into much more detail than that, but we would lose all three of our audience members, and I don't want to take that risk.
Nah, they're handcuffed. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah, really. Hence the shrieking you hear down
because,
the hall.
Because that is in the stark contrast to a fixed mortgage, which, as its name implies, it is fixed for the whole life of the loan. They start out, generally speaking, with a higher interest rate than an adjustable rate mortgage, but they stay that way. So you're sort of betting on the come.
Yes, indeed. What you have to remember when you're thinking about an ARM, and it's easy to get talked into because, you know, it's like, hey, I got a couple of years to pay on it. I'll be saving some money and I'll get a raise and I'll be able to afford that. And well, guess what? If we're at near rock bottom, which we are, I mean, they've come up a little bit from pretty much
we're still pretty low in the general scheme of things. Yeah.
But if you're looking at getting 2 points over prime, and then 3 points over prime the next year, and then 4 points over prime the year after that.
No. Careful. You can tell this guy brews beer for a living. No, prime goes up.
Indeed.
You stay 2 points around it, above it. Right, yeah.
But the benchmark itself is what changes.
That's called the banker's spread, is that 2 points above prime.
That's right. And so as prime goes up, the spread will stay the same, okay, generally speaking.
My wife and I love to do things like go and look in other people's houses when they're not there on a Sunday afternoon, otherwise known as going to realtors' open houses.
Good, because we were wondering a little bit.
Open houses.
Yeah, I do the same thing, only it's at night. And
without the realtor.
And through somebody's drapes.
Yeah, really.
No, but here's the thing.
So good at those alarm systems.
The last couple of years, we do this every now and then for fun. In the last couple of years, we've noticed more than one property in fairly decent neighborhoods where clearly the owner has vacated without doing anything important over the last, you know, many months. And just as clearly, the price of the house has got to be less than what he took out for a loan originally several years ago. And so I'm thinking these people took out ARMs. They made very low payments in the first few years. And then the first big rate spikes came and they found themselves upside down. And
right.
They had to pretty much.
They are in the bucket. However, you need to understand that is the exception and not the rule. And an ARM can make sense for someone who, if I know, for example, I'm going to be selling this house in a year and a half, then an ARM makes complete sense.
Because it just makes your payments as low as they possibly can be.
It makes your payments low. Well, more importantly, it gives you choice, freedom of choice. You can pay additional. You can pay the 30-year fixed rate, or you can pay additional principal on your mortgage, or you can pay the ultra-low rate.
Or you can tailor it for the payments to increase when you are quite certain your income will be increasing also.
That's right.
I wish I could say that about myself.
That's right. There are all kinds of strategies one can do. And so all you got to do is just give me a call at 281-813-0509. And I'll be happy to discuss this strategy as well as more in-depth strategies.
281-813-0509, Bob's personal cell phone. Called him at 2 a.m. and asked him what he was doing when the phone rang. Always an entertaining thing to do if you're suffering from insomnia. And he says he answers his darn phone. So
I know. I'll just hand the phone to the sheriff who's driving in front of the car at that point.
If you can fit it through that metal grate.
Yeah. But I kid Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson makes me so sad. Because I think it's his father speaking through him.
That's his father.
When you grow up stressed out by a father who lives with a lot of anger and occasionally takes it out on you when you're a little kid, you cannot help but absorb some of his behavior and repeat it under stress. And
I don't under stress when all of your inhibitions are lifted, as in like when you're drunk.
I don't doubt that he means what he says, but I'm not sure he is a completely consciously committed anti-Semite. I think what you saw come out of him during this arrest scene is something that went into him for years and years when he was a little kid and came out under stress. His level of certainty of the truth of it, I think, is questionable. Just the fact that his father told it to him under stress for so many years, that's what's clear to me. And the fact that he had an open bottle of tequila half empty in his car at 10 o'clock in the morning driving 90 miles an hour, and this man has a problem.
Tequila or driving?
Tequila.
Oh, okay.
What's that country song? Yep. Tequila makes your clothes fall off?
You know, but on that subject, Big Dave, I think that everybody on this planet has bigoted thoughts and bigoted impulses. And I don't know, I get a feeling that's a straw dog sometimes.
But I like tequila.
And I know he probably had a lot of the same impulses that a lot of people do, from Jews, black folks, folks like me, everybody. Has these impulses. It's a matter of how much power you have, and then what happens when you're under stress and your inhibitions are released.
Well, the arguments against him were timed to coincide with the release of The Passion of the Christ a couple of years ago, because there were some Orthodox Jews who had it in mind after seeing the movie that it unfairly painted the Jews as deserving all the blame for the death of Christ. And, you know, I'm
this
a Christian
This gives a little bit of weight to that argument,
well,
though, doesn't it?
Which
it
is does. Ironic, given the whole point of Christ dying for all our sins of all of mankind. That means it's everyone's fault.
Look,
equally.
I'm a Christian guy, and I don't care how any story represents the level of blame to be divided up between the institutional Jews and the occupying Romans at the time. It's not relevant to me. It doesn't play to any aspect of the story from that point on and the meaning of it all to the human race. It just doesn't matter. And for people to be so focused on whether it was the Jews or the Romans who deserved the blame for Christ's death is, to me, the ultimate straw man. It's a total waste of time.
You're absolutely right. But is this a recent train of thought in Christianity? In other words, about 100 years ago, I think, didn't a lot of Christians have real problems with the Jews?
Oh, look, it's been going on since the beginning of Christianity. That's part of anti-Semitism in the Western world.
Yeah, and it's very interesting that the most vociferous proponents of the Jews now, I think, are the evangelical Christians.
I'm just not sure that's true. Dennis Prager himself, who you respect, I know, says the evangelical Christian is the best friend of the Jew on the face of the
earth.
That's
what I said, David. I said vociferous proponent.
I thought you were meaning proponent of anti-Semitic views.
No!
Boy, all this confusion.
Vociferous proponent of the Jews, of Israel
Supporter.
And the Jews.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say the evangelical Christians are number one on that list. In other words, they're cheerleaders. And I am a Christian with moderately evangelical beliefs, so I'd put myself in that camp too. Hmm. Even though I did say that I have no dog in this hunt and that I'm trying to look from the Arab-Jew conflict from the outside. And indeed I do, because I'm not one or the other.
Now is the time when I look around the studio and ask if there are any Jews in the room.
No. Tax Goddess grew up in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. About 70%.
Yeah, predominantly Jewish neighborhood up in New Jersey.
Yep.
And if you weren't Jewish, you were almost by definition Catholic. There were a few people thrown in for affirmative action, but that was pretty much the breakdown.
And the interesting thing is how well those two communities got along where she grew up. They had a very strong alliance.
There was a letter written by one of the Jewish leaders of the 18th century American colonies to George Washington, thanking him for being serious when he talked about religious freedom, because the Jews, I recall, were waiting anxiously to see if it included them when the American colonies were first talking about freedom to worship as you choose, and they were relieved and grateful to find out that it was actually true. And so they wrote George Washington a letter that's still extant today. I wish I could find it. Give me a minute on Google, okay? You guys sit and be quiet. No, just kidding.
I don't know. The lesson I took from this thing is, once you're like rich, powerful, you know, making movies, making tons of cash, hire a car and a driver.
That's the first thing that came to my mind. You know,
and we know we had cab fare. I mean, come on.
My back 6.2. Okay, drink all you want.
Yeah,
there's
a driver
there
named Eddie, and there's a bar in the back of the driver's
that's
seat. Thank you very
some
much.
Some really vile stuff came out of his mouth. Like, look, you, I own Malibu. I'll spend all my money for the rest of my life to get even with you for arresting me. He's telling all this stuff to the cop who's writing him up.
And the heck of it is, it is scaring the cop. It would scare me too. Absolutely. You got a guy who's worth $750 million now, or $500 million.
I'm sorry.
Telling
best
you that.
Best line the cop could have said. You know, I was going to let you go until you said that.